Welcome to Entrepreneurs the Playbook. I'm David Meltzer. We're here live in London, the beautiful Bulgari Cinema. And I'm blessed to have a megastar. That's right. Captain Glenn Shepherd is here from Below Deck Yacht Sailing here in the UK. Captain, welcome.
Thank you very much. Nice to be here.
I really was looking forward to this because you're of the same age that I am, and shit has gotten crazy when it comes to content. Like, we've had professions, and these professions have been around all these famous rich people.
Yep.
You're a yacht guy, so probably even more than being a sports agent, you were around it more than I was. And if somebody would have told me, even, you know, a decade ago, that anyone would ever want me on a TV show, a movie, people would ask for my autograph, take my picture.
I know.
There's no way.
It's crazy.
Like, unless it was for a bad thing, like, oh, you went to jail, I would have maybe believed it, but that ain't happening. So, you know, for you, how has that transition affected you? Because we're middle-aged men who had no aspirations of being on TV or
That's
movies.
That's very generous.
Right? You know, so, but how has that really impacted you when people want your autograph and take pictures of you?
It's funny because, I think I've signed one autograph in my
Oh, I got you, brother.
But it's all selfies nowadays.
We'll double it here, at least.
That's the world we live in. It's all about selfies.
Write a book. Everyone will sign it.
Exactly. On the train yesterday, I was going somewhere. The guy came over. I just sat there looking at my phone and came over and said, "Are you Captain Glenn?" And, you know, and he brought his wife over. We got some selfies. It's cool. It's fun, you know. I live in Europe. The show is bigger in North America.
Yeah.
So when I go over there, especially if I go to a boat show or a marina, you know, then I get recognized a lot. But over here, I don't get recognized very often. So it's a treat for me. I love it. I think it's great.
There is a point where it becomes intrusive, and that where my career was interesting, that I represented the biggest names in sports, right?
Sure.
Lennox Lewis, Evander Holyfield in boxing.
Yeah.
You know, in American football, there's no one bigger than us. Eight first picks in a row,
wow.
You know, Troy Aikman, Steve Young, Warren
Incredible.
Moon, if you're familiar, yeah, guys like that. So my whole career was keeping everybody away from
of course.
The guys. And most people didn't even know my name. It was like, yeah, that's Lee's guy or Warren Moon's partner.
But they knew you.
Yeah, now they know.
You're always there.
Right. It's crazy. Now, it's like being perfectly famous.
Yeah. No, I totally agree. It's because it's really cool to your anonymity is really nice, but every once in a while you have that
ego
experience.
It's so nice.
Such an ego boost when someone comes up to you and says, "Hey, can I get a selfie?"
It
just makes my day. I love it. I think it's
even
so
better
cool
when your friends or family is with you and then they're like, "Did you pay that guy to come up to you?" Like, you know.
No, I do some stuff. You know, I'm mostly retired, but I do some stuff. And I was with a partner in the Caribbean recently, and everywhere we went, because it was all about boats, right? And boat people love a show like that. So they're just constantly coming up.
Yeah.
And so it was, you know, they were very impressed. So they
were
getting their money's worth.
Yeah, right? I try to bring everybody to like Fanatics Fest or the Super Bowl or the Pro Bowl. And then they're like, whoa, everybody knows you. And they love your shows and all that. Or an entrepreneurial show like the Aspire Tour. But it's earned. What people don't know is that you have to be really good at what you did for them to ask you to be on the show.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah, like great chefs. They're not just picking some chef.
No,
you know, you'd be a contestant, right? But you can't be the guy, the guru or whatever. So did you ever feel as if it diminished your credibility and success? Because now it's kind of this portrayal of an actor and you lose the credibility.
It's weird. No, I don't think so. I think, you know, when I first heard about the show, I wasn't keen. It had a reputation in the industry that, you know, it wasn't. I mean, it's a reality show. Right.
Exactly.
But
that's
when
the
they
reputation.
when they called me up to get involved, to help them, they were actually looking for a boat. And I said, well, I'll help you find a boat. Because I knew a lot of people in the sailing world of super yachts, and they wanted to do a spinoff. And I said, I'll help you find a boat, but maybe the boat I'm on might be suitable. And that's kind of how the ball got. Well, I wasn't trying to be on TV, but I was trying to drum up some business for my boss. And that's how it got started. But I think the feeling about the show has changed over the years. I think there's 27 different seasons of the different Below Decks. You know, I did 5 on sailing. So
that is so good.
Yeah. It's been fun to be part of.
Yeah, they approached my wife about being an Orange County housewife.
Oh, really?
And I'm like, not a chance. Not a chance.
That's a bit of a different thing.
Exactly. I wouldn't even let her watch it in front of me, because those of you into frequency and vibration, that thing carries some negativity.
Oh, like, I've done events like BravoCon and met a lot of the housewives, and some of them are really cool, but not my thing.
Not my thing either. I'm sure a lot of them are very nice. Some of my friends, I think they like me because I don't know who they are.
Yeah.
So it's really nice. But you're still involved with yachting, and it's still your passion.
Yes.
And absolutely. So as an entrepreneur, what types of businesses or business opportunities have come from the notoriety, endorsements, investments?
Endorsements and things like that, you know, equipment and things related to the yachting world from all sorts.
And do entrepreneurs come to you to ask you to be an advisor, to be on the board, or to invest?
I've had some people ask me to invest. I've collaborated with some people in different projects. I find it,
In the world of sailing too, it's different than, the bigger motor yachts. You know, I've been blessed to take one for actually my honeymoon in Greece in the Northern Spratus. And
nice.
There is a more, I would say, natural, or there's just this ease of sailing compared.
Yeah, the vibe on sailboats is a little more chill. On the big motor yachts, it's very formal.
Yeah.
And we're formal, and we're, it's the same kind of thing. It's still a big boat. It's, 50 meters. But we have more fun. The crew interact a bit more with the guests. I try to get the sails up, try to get the guests on the wheel, steering, and more involved.
And then ego. I'm going to talk about previous to the show, and then there's a different type of ego on the show. I love to teach and to elevate people on how to handle our responses to a natural reaction. So the ego has three things that I have found that I work on. One, it's going to defend you. Two, it's going to try to control everything. And three, which is more prevalent in our careers, it tries to prove things.
Yeah, right.
And I find that people on yachts, just like people in the sports agent world, they have a great need to prove something.
Yes, absolutely.
What have you learned about the ego as your, not as a TV star yacht captain, but as a true yacht captain? Because I'm sure you're around very wealthy people.
Yeah, exactly. I think, ego has its place, depending on what you're doing. I met a lot of people from different, facets of life, a lot, people from Formula One world champions and stuff like that. And you're not going to be a Formula One world champion unless you've got a big ego.
No doubt.
But from my own perspective, I try to control. It's a job, it's a role, and everyone has their role. Your role has a lot of more responsibility, but I think it's important not to let it go to your head. Mm-hmm. I think that's, benefit from the ego, but don't let it be,
Have you had situations where people put themselves at safety risk because of their ego? I'll give you an example. Kobe was a friend and very humble in some respects.
Right.
But the reason that helicopter was flying was they were told not to fly, and his ego said, no, we got this, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Need to control. Like, I'm Kobe. Everything always works out for me. And I've seen that with boats as well.
Yeah.
Either the captain or the billionaire owner of the boat, they use their ego to put themselves at risk.
Yeah. I mean, I'm always trying to make sure the boss is happy. I will do some risky things, but always calculated.
Mm-hmm.
And never too risky. Safety is always utmost. You push the envelope a little bit.
Yeah, for fun.
But there's certain things that, obviously they can have serious ramifications, and you're always calculating for that.
So. Yeah.
But I never let my ego get in the way. And if the boss wants to do something because of his ego and I know it's the wrong thing to do, I'll put my foot down and say, no, we're not doing that. Sorry. If you want, you get another captain, but I'm not going to let you do that.
Yeah. I've had similar situations. I was representing a quarterback in the NFL, and he wanted 14 rooms in Atlanta. He was a young quarterback. And I said, I have experience with this. I don't think this is a good idea, 14 rooms. And he told me, oh, no, this will be fine. I said, I'm going on record. I said, it's your life, but I'm not getting in trouble. And sure enough, he got arrested. You hate to do a told you so dance on that
one. No, exactly.
Now shifting to the entertainment side.
Okay.
Reality TV's, you know, been around it. Not for me, because, you know, you're playing up to a camera.
Yeah.
And do you purposely, or are you coached purposely to create conflict or fun? Like, is it, or are you? Yeah.
It's very interesting that you asked that, because that was my philosophy. That's what I thought that Below Deck was before I got involved. And that, for that reason, I never watched it, didn't want to see it.
Right.
I'm pretty sure on The Housewives, do come up with scenarios and stories.
Yeah, and Big Brother,
it's
too.
A little bit made up, but I can tell you for sure on ours, there's nothing like that. I have a quick chat with the producers to remind me of the things that have happened on the last few days of Charter before I go into the tip meeting, but they're not telling me what to say.
Yeah.
And they're never setting a scenario. They don't want anything made up. I was surprised when I, first got involved. One of the producers told me, hey, we don't come up with any kind of story. We just get the right people together and you'd be surprised. It just happens.
And
I've
seen
it firsthand.
And the editing.
And of course, the
because they can make things
look. They can do a lot in the editing, but they only can edit stuff that you gave them.
Yeah.
And if you give them stuff to make you look like an idiot, and they want an idiot for the story, you'll be the idiot.
Yeah.
I'm pretty lucky as a captain. They protect us. They don't try to make us look like an idiot.
Right.
I probably gave them
a few. Probably why I won't be on a reality show, because it'd be too easy. It's just quick few quips that, end up going viral.
But I could say, for anyone who watches the show or seen the show, everything you see on Sailing Yacht, and I'm pretty sure all the other Below Decks also are the same thing, it's all real. It's all stuff that really happened.
That's cool. All right. One other area that has taken over a lot of what I do is post-production content.
Right.
And obviously, there's a lot of opportunity for you to have separate content.
Yeah.
Podcast guests.
Yeah.
But then also to build a brand. How have you addressed that opportunity to build your own community outside of the TV show?
Yeah.
But to amplify that and to build your own, what I call a social silo that could give not only you, but your grandchildren, a great financial legacy.
Yeah. And this is something I'm working with Kim and Justin on.
Kim Walsh Phillips and Justin Guarini, they do an incredible job at helping people like you and
I
not only build brands, but build communities around those
brands.
Exactly.
Yeah. And it's so key. And that's something that I'm thinking of as something that I'm actually actively doing. I need more guidance from them. So I'm leaning on.
Need guidance. I keep learning more, and it's amazing how quickly it works. What's one of the things that surprised you the most, after being offered the opportunity? What's one of the things, whether it's personal or professional, that surprised you?
About being involved in the show.
Yeah. Or the result from being on the show.
Again, I think it's just being, recognized. I have a very serious imposter syndrome.
Oh, nice.
I was like, how did I end up here? I mean, I did all the things that you need to do to be in that position, but you're still surprised when it happens. And that just to be a super yacht captain, I was pretty amazed and pretty happy that I was able to achieve that.
I think
it was partly luck and, partly, hard work.
Preparation.
But then to end up on a TV show and to be... people approaching the street to say hi and take that picture.
And I forgot, you don't get autographs because you don't have a book. I always have books. So people want me to
sign their.
No one wants my autograph, right? They want me to sign my book.
I love it. I think it's amazing.
Me too.
So, yeah.
I like when my wife makes fun of you. Does your wife make fun of you?
Yeah.
That's the best.
A bit. But she'll take the picture.
Yeah.
Whoever comes up.
And she'll definitely cash the checks. my wife's at Harrods right now.
Oh, is she?
For some reason, she didn't want to come in the mastermind. one of the funny stories that I had, Warren Moon was my business partner for 20 years, and he's the most famous Rose Bowl MVP and played for Washington.
Sure,
so my team's Ohio State, and Ohio State was playing Washington in the Rose Bowl. And it was just when my brand, started to pick up a little bit. And Ohio State, of course, kicked Washington's ass. So he wanted to leave at halftime. I thought it was because of the score. He said too many people were bothering him.
Oh,
and he was the most famous person in the stadium.
Of course.
And they were bothering him, to be fair. And we're walking out, and I see a guy see Warren, and he V-lines for Warren. So I step out in front. you know, to kind of slow him down and just no stupid pictures or whatever. And the guy just hugs me. And
oh, really?
Like, Mr. Meltzer. Amazing. Oh, my God. I love your content. Can I get a picture with you? And that pissed off Warren worse than anything because he's like, not only Ohio State beat by halftime his team, but he had to leave because people were bothering him. Yeah. And as we're walking out, he's like, dude, if I could be perfectly famous like Dave Meltzer, where one person out of 100,000 actually wants to talk to you.
Right? I love that. I love that. Perfectly.
He goes, I would pay so much money to be you. Yeah.
I don't envy the people, you know, I don't envy
the
Tom Cruises of the world because you can't just be a normal person anymore.
There's no
doubt. To have that experience every once in a while,
it's perfect.
Perfect. It really is.
So this understanding, you're working with other people asking for help. You have the best help, by the way. If anyone hasn't known them, look them up. Kim Walsh Phillips, the work with O'Leary, with me, you. But where do you see this going? You have enough behind you to see something in front of you. You know, what's the end result that you're aspiring to?
I think growing what's already there. And you know, my focus now, I'm mostly retired. A little bit more coming in is nice, but I really want to stop and smell the roses.
Very good.
So just a little bit more to make that run a little smoother. That's all I'm looking for.
What type of transportation? Last question. What type of transportation, if you could vacation on, what would you choose?
A boat, for sure.
What kind?
I'm living on my boat now in Palma. I just flew in from my boat in Palma. I have a humble 42-foot sailboat, and that's enough for me. Me and my partner, and just cruising. You know, I like the super yachts, but I don't want to have crew. I don't want to have all their problems.
Yeah, that's employees.
That's not my
employees and overhead. Rule number one of entrepreneurship: if you don't like somebody, wish them employees and overhead. They will think like you're blessing them, and you have just cursed them. And they walk away going, "That Dave Meltzer is a great guy. He kept saying, I hope you have thousands of employees and hundreds of thousands of square feet of office space. What a great guy."
Yeah, exactly.
And you're giggling as you
leave. No, I mean, because I know that's my job to manage all that.
Yeah.
I've been really fortunate in my career. I've worked with some amazing people. Obviously, there have been some challenges. But as an owner, I wouldn't wish that on my, you know, worst enemies. Like, just keep it simple.
Keep it simple. Keep it happy.
I have just as much fun. I've seen billionaires on the boats that I've worked on, and they're kind of doing the same thing. Everything's a higher level, but it's the same thing. Nice meal, relax, maybe watch a movie, go visit the little fishing village. You know, it's all the same things I do on my little boat, you know?
So there's only so much space you can cover. Exactly. You know? Well, my captain, Captain Glenn Shepherd, check him out on Below Deck. He's fascinating and fun, as you can tell. I only wish you all the success. Thank you for joining me.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It's been Dave Meltzer with Entrepreneurs, The Playbook.